33 years after the birth of Christ, the culmination of his life, comes to the close. And in the gospel reading, you hear the whole passion. From the anointing of Christ with the perfume to his death. And here the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, comes. Christ came into Jerusalem lowly, riding on a donkey. And this is the triumphal entry. Jesus Emmanuel comes to create a new kingdom. And his kingdom is not earthly, but spiritual. And instead of being served, he comes to serve others. And Christ turns the reasoning of this world on its head as he goes quietly suffering to his death. And Lent is a penitential season. And here it is to reflect on your sin and have repentance for what you've done and what you have failed to do. And this reading really highlights the price of your sin. And here you see what happens because you are an adulterous and stiff-necked people. And at the same time, this very much shows the unwavering commitment and love Christ has for the Father and for you. And the gospel was lengthy, but it shows sin's effect on humanity and Christ's payment to correct its corruption. And hopefully, the words of Isaiah 53 come to mind as the sacrifice and also the sacrifice for the Day of Atonement. They might be familiar as you heard that reading from Matthew. And in Matthew, before our reading, starting with Matthew 21, Christ does come into Jerusalem riding on the donkey. He has cleansed the temple. He has given the parables and spoken about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He has foretold the destruction of the temple. And he continued to give parables of the virgins and the talents and also to speak the final judgment. And all of this he did to break down stone hearts, that packed earth of the road, to make it hopefully fertile soil. And Christ, after doing these things, set the time of his death here in the Matthew 26. It is here in this account that you see the effects of sin on man and Christ's faithfulness to the Father, and in turn showing his faithfulness to mankind. First, the priests choose their sacrifice. Just as they did in the tabernacle with Moses and the temple with David, the priests chose their spotless lamb, Jesus Christ. They wanted it to be on their terms. These priests representing the people, representing sinners, hear the word and want nothing to do with it. From Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. They called for his death for mankind because mankind is an enemy to God. And only Christ, being the Word, is rejected by sin. It is rejected by the people. It is rejected by the flesh. And when I say flesh, I mean the old Adam, both body and soul, not the new creations that you are as Christians. But to this day, the flesh rejects the Word, but the Spirit holds fast to it. And the woman, Mary, prepares Christ for his sacrifice by being anointed with perfume for his entombment, for his burial. And just as Scripture says that his face was set like flint toward Jerusalem, Christ goes toward his death, unwavering from the will of the Father. On the flip side, you see the sin of man who is more interested in serving himself. Why waste it on Christ when that money could have lined my pockets? The selfishness and greed of man does not abate, but Christ, seeing this, still goes to his death. And moreover, Judas exemplifies mankind in his betrayal of Christ. What do you sell for your inheritance? You have Christ with you now, and what sin do you betray Christ for? What miserable mount that lasts but a short while have you chosen to trade God's grace for? Blessedly, Christ still goes to the cross in the face of Judas's betrayal and also yours. He sees your sin, and for that reason, he knows what he must do. And in the face of this betrayal, the word reminds you of the Passover. And this should recall the plagues ending with the angel of death passing over the homes of those who sacrificed the unblemished lamb to have the blood put on the doorposts. This precludes one of God's most precious gifts to the church. He gives you the Lord's Supper. Christ institutes the New Testament. His last will and testament is that His blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And today, you get to receive that very gift. Christ here serves you again, giving you His flesh and blood to let you know that you are forgiven, that His sacrifice was for you. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. And even as He gives this beautiful gift, He knows He's going to be betrayed by both Judas and Peter. He continues to show His love by continuing to move toward the cross. Christ's faithfulness to the Father continues as He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And He asks Peter and James and John to stay awake. Again, the flesh is seen as failing as all cannot even keep the word Christ asked them to. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Christ, in His distress of being forsaken by God, feeling the full wrath for the sin of the world, He even sweats blood, but He stays the course to the cross. Christ went willingly and faced persecution and punishment on your behalf. He suffered so that you could be declared righteous. Judas came and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. An innocent man who has done no wrong is arrested at night. The Lamb of God is handed over to the priest for the sacrifice. And what happens? His disciples flee. Peter denies Him. Even Petra the rock cannot even stand strong to the sin of all men. All men have fallen short of the glory of God. And the flesh is afraid of death, but Christ walks towards death in determination. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Christ, in the hands of the high priest, is chastised, harassed, and accused. They falsely accuse Him in front of their council and in front of Pilate, and Christ remains silent to their accusations. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away, and as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of My people? However, when they pointedly asked if He was Christ, the King of the Jews, He responds, "You have said so." And then the high priest, when faced with the truth, call Him a blasphemer. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And without God, the sinners rage against that truth and do not want it. He again, Christ, in the face of His enemies, turns His cheek as He's ushering in a new kingdom, a kingdom that does not return ill with ill, but returns ill with a blessing. His kingdom is built on forgiveness, and that forgiveness is found in His sacrifice. And Christ is turned over to Pilate, and at this time, He suffers in His body. He's beaten, spit upon, and abused. He's beaten so bad that He's no longer recognizable. And He's put to death in the most painful way, the cross, where you slowly suffocate to death. "I gave My back to those who strike, and My cheeks to those who pull out My beard. I hid not My face from disgrace and spitting." The King of the Jews, Christ, suffered. And His suffering comes at the hands of the depravity of man. His love shines forth as the sin and hatred of men are at the darkest. He was tortured and still He continued on. He was abandoned by all the people He cared about, and still He continued on. He was attacked by the devil and abandoned by the Father, and still He continued on up unto His death. Christ is true strength, for He did what no man could do or ever do. He faced all of this without breaking, but remained constant. He did not falter in His spirit. He did not waver in His dedication. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. He has put Him to grief. When His soul makes an offering for guilt, He shall see His offspring. He shall prolong His days, that the will of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Out of the anguish of His soul He shall see and be satisfied, By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. Christ is the true King, not a king for this world, but the King for eternity. He came in lowly riding on a donkey to show that riches and powers are not what he's promising, but it is through his service, his sacrifice, that he has redeemed all mankind. He has redeemed the world. And this Palm Sunday, remember that you are a sinner, and there is nothing you can do that will save you. Stand on anything but Christ, and you will see that in time all will wear out like a garment, and the moth will eat it up. It will sift away like sand. Yet if you set your hope on Christ and what he has done, you will not be moved, because he is eternal, and he has already been victorious. This gospel shows you time and time again that no matter how hard you try to be righteous, you will not achieve it. Yet one man did. Jesus Christ, true man, true God, maintained his obedience and righteousness up unto death. Jesus Christ suffered like no other man, because he knew no one could do it. He was obedient and he was forsaken. This lowly king, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Yet he desired you. He desired that you should be saved, that you should have forgiveness, that you should have life. He did this by serving you. He made himself lowly so that you could be called more than conquerors. He in his death, the King of Kings, has declared victory of sin, death, and the devil. He, the Prince of Peace, pardons the sinner in his sacrifice, so that you, in your weakest of flesh, can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. He is your King. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man, and he is your Savior. Amen.